We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back on Rice Owls Insider. 1 year ago at this time, just beginning football camp, so it feels great to be back in the full swing of things. We have a jam-packed episode here on YouTube. We're on podcast forms as well. You podcasters, we're on YouTube as well, if you like to match those pictures with the words. AD Joe Carlgaard, and we have soccer coach Brian Lee being highlighted here in this episode. Joe, no a jam-packed time of year for you, so appreciate you joining us. How are you doing?
Yeah, I think that's a question that probably deserves some relativity to it, right? So, you know, compared to a year ago, I'm doing pretty well. We've got our teams back competing. It feels like we're starting to put COVID in the rearview mirror a little bit. But there's a lot going on in the world of college athletics right now, and so that's keeping us on our toes.
Yeah, we'll get to a lot of that coming up in a little bit. We heard with you on the Mike Bloomgren show a week or so ago. You were in Washington, D.C., so we'll get an update on that. But on the competitive side of things, first, just the almost the simplest thing, just having fans back watching us. There's still obviously some COVID restrictions, primarily inside, but nonetheless, how great is it to have that actual palpable feeling of having fans cheering and being in these facilities?
It's great. I mean, you know, you think back about football last year and we only played five games, but, we did have fans for our last home game, but it just didn't feel quite the same as it has this year. Both when we're playing here and when we're on the road, it's really nice to be able to play in front of our supporters. And, you know, same can be said for the other sports that are going on right now, soccer, volleyball. To be able to host a home cross country meet was a lot of fun too, and to see students and parents and fans out supporting that. It's been a really good feeling, and it feels like we're starting to come back.
Now, on the football side of things, and to be noted, as we record this, it's right before the Southern Miss game, the day before. So all things considered, just the first almost half of the season, really challenged themselves with that strong schedule and proven to be much stronger teams than we even thought on that schedule previously, but that nice home win against Texas Southern wrap-up non-conference. What are your overarching views of things on football right now?
Yeah, you know, football schedules, for better or for worse, are often done a decade or more in advance. And, you know, Arkansas for us was a team that we put on the schedule to replace Oklahoma State, which was a series that we'd had. And when we put them on the schedule, they just come off losses to Western Kentucky and North Texas. And they've proven to be a much better team than they were those years, certainly now nationally ranked and fighting for the top of the SEC. But, you know, we like to play old Southwest Conference opponents. I think that's important for us. It certainly was a challenging couple of weeks. We feel like we got our feet underneath us a little bit better last week against Texas Southern. And what's coming up now is really the most important part of the season for us, and that's the conference slate with eight games to go. And you know, if we put ourselves in a position as we have performed over the last eight games that we've played in Conference USA, then we'll be bowling at the end of the year, and that's absolutely the goal for us.
On the pitch, we'll have Brian Lee coming up here in a little bit, but no surprise, they picked up right where they left off from that Sweet 16 run of the spring. 8-2-1 start, spend most of the season in the top 25, currently receiving votes. So what do you analyze from Coach Lee's team that just keeps the ball rolling?
Yeah, I mean, they play together. They play with a lot of passion. You know, it's different for soccer and volleyball coming off of a spring season. And I think, you know, getting that rhythm of being in the competitive portion of your season, you know, 4 or 5 months after you just finished, is a challenge for those programs. But I'm impressed by how they've challenged themselves in the non-conference. Again, for both programs, I think the conference is where it's at. And you know, I'm excited about the possibilities that they'll have to compete for a championship this year. You know, soccer had a great spring, making it all the way to the Sweet 16, beating West Virginia and Texas A&M. Soccer is one of those sports where, you know, you always have a puncher's chance. If you can defend well and keep the ball out of the net, you know, you might get an opportunity to score a goal on the other end. And we've proven an ability to do that pretty well. But, you know, it doesn't always work out for you. And so in the non-conference this year, you know, we challenged ourselves. We got knocked around a little bit, but we're still, you know, 8-2-1 through 11 games is an outstanding start to the season. And I'm just excited about what conference will bring. Volleyball is very similar in the sense that, you know, we went out and played. We ran the gauntlet, you know, playing Baylor and Texas and Pitt and Oregon and, you know, just a really strong slate of opponents to start things off. And I'm convinced that this team will continue to grow over the season and put themselves in a position to win a conference championship and get back to the NCAAs.
Across country, strong team performances on both sides, including a team win by the men, and no surprise, Grace Forbes doing Grace Forbes things. No truth to the rumor that they're going to rename the weekly award after her. I think that'll be a few years down the line, but she just keeps dominating and being named Conference USA Runner of the Week a couple of times. What do you make not only her, but strong showings by cross country?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about those programs. I think for us, you know, taking that next step into developing consistent, you know, upper echelon team performances, you know, we obviously have great runners on both sides of our cross country program, but what's really sort of got me excited so far is how highly we're ranked in the regional polls. That's how you get to the NCAAs. You compete at the conferences, and then, you know, a week or so later, you go to the NCAA regionals. We're in the South region. And if you finish at the top of the region in the top couple of spots, you've got a good chance to get to the NCAAs. And that's the goal, you know, to provide that experience, not just for Grace, but for an entire team to be able to run at the NCAA championships. And I think for both the men and the women, we're in a position where that's a strong possibility for us this year. And you know, that's what really excites me about our cross-country programs.
In the offseason, we had the fascinating story of Ahalya Lettenberger. She ends up getting the silver medal in the late August at the Paralympic Games. And there's not, I mean, it's hard to put into too much context on that international stage, because there's not too much more gratifying than getting a medal in the Olympics. So how proud were you of her and just what she's able to accomplish, obviously representing Rice, but in the big, what representing her cause and just everything that, that she represents.
Well, just super proud of her. It's been so much fun to watch our swim team support her as well. To see the USOPC step forward and provide us with some materials and a platform to really promote what Ahalya was doing. She's been a great member of the department too. Aside from the swim team, she's been on the Owlin task force. So I've gotten a chance to know her through that. I saw her at a soccer match after she got back from Tokyo and had won that silver medal. And, I asked her if it was after school had started. And I said, have you been keeping up with your studies, and has Rice been working with you to make sure? And she hadn't even really been thinking about it, but she also strikes me as the type of young woman who is smart enough to do just about anything she wants. So she was still riding on the high of coming back from Tokyo with that medal. And, she's a great representative of this university, and we're just very, very proud of her and everything that she does, not just for her swim program, but for this school as well.
We talked about this some a week or two ago, but there's great momentum around baseball with Coach Cruz, and want to invite fans to join us at the exhibition at Reckling Park Friday, October 8th, during the Owls football off week. But you get some baseball 6 p.m. that Friday. They're working really on some great, neat tech upgrades too. Stay tuned on some info being released on that. But just your thoughts on what Coach Cruz is doing, and he's got a lot of great momentum here in the off. It doesn't seem like much of an off season, but the practices I've seen, it just great having Rice baseball back.
Yeah, it is. I mean, fall ball this year has a different vibe to it. I've been out a couple of times this week to watch them practice. I feel like I don't know many of the players. I was speaking with somebody and I said, so we've got 16 newcomers, and they corrected me. It's actually 19 new people on the roster. It's a combination of, a freshman class and some transfers that Coach Cruz got traction with after he was hired. There's a really great vibe, a lot of enthusiasm for kind of where we're headed with the program. Coach Cruz's approach, his understanding of this university and the dual nature of being a student athlete at Rice. And so I think he's done a great job so far. I think fall ball, we'll have a chance to play Sam Houston, as you mentioned, then we'll go play UH at their place a little while longer. And, fall's always a good chance to see how the pieces fit together. And then we've got a great schedule coming up in 2022. And I sense the enthusiasm too among our alumni and for what Coach Cruz brings to the table. And, baseball season, I enjoy each of the seasons as they come, but I can't wait for baseball season this year.
Number 22 in 22, of course, season, or coach number 22, like we planned that or something. But yeah, that exhibition match for fans to know, that's part of a doubleheader that night with soccer action against UAB. Basketball now underway. I have peeked in there a couple of times and talked to Coach Para. But great anticipation for the men's program and getting the Lindsay Edmonds era underway with the women's team. How excited are you for that? Because time of year, we have every sport going almost.
Yeah, it's funny. As we've been talking, JP, I keep trying to find a different word for excited, enthusiastic, great anticipation. I think you just said, because all of this is just so exciting and invigorating to me. Coach Edmonds and her staff, I think, have done a great job of coming in, learning about Rice, really being aggressive on the recruiting trail. The feedback that I've gotten from student athletes is that they're having a great experience. It's always tough when you transition staffs, but I think that the student athletes are really enjoying the approach that Coach Edmonds and her staff are taking. I haven't been to a practice yet. They just started, but I'm looking forward to that. And I think with this program, the trajectory has always been really terrific. So I'm eagerly awaiting. How about that? the basketball season and just to see exactly what this team can accomplish this year. And on the men's side, you know, it's a little bit more of a known commodity in the sense that our staff is together and, you know, we've got five starters back. We've got a host of newcomers, including a couple of grad transfers. And we finished the year pretty well last year. You know, I thought we played really well in the tournament. We defended pretty well. You know, I'm just really excited by what I think this team can do. And, you know, I think both our basketball programs are on an awesome trajectory. And you know, for our men's team, I think that the goal will be to play in the postseason this year. And I think we have an awesome chance to do that.
Green light you, baby. Green light you. It's continuing. So a new Hall of Fame class did all the voiceovers. And as long as I have been associated with Rice, going back 14 years, I guess, I love learning new things. And even though hearing stories, just learning new things, doing those voiceovers with John Cole, our largest class of the Hall of Fame since 1973, there's 10 athletes and one coach. And then the great Roger Tower factor mixed in there, too. But during your time, Jessica Custer is getting inducted. But just overall, great work by Mike Melendez's team to put on a great event, as always, that biannual event.
Yeah. You know, when we introduced Coach Cruz last year, after we hired him, we had an event at Reckling Park. It rained a little bit during the event. But I remember being in the concourse talking to alumni, and it was really the first chance that we'd had to bring people back together, you know, to celebrate Rice Athletics, to talk to each other, to see each other's faces in person as opposed to via Zoom. And so that's what really has me excited about the Hall of Fame, you know, just being able to see all these people. And, you know, it's been kind of hit or miss over the last year and a half where, you know, sometimes you see people, you'll be out for a walk or whatnot, you'll see people across the street. You know, I've seen a few folks at games, but we just haven't gotten yet back into the full routine of all the different events and things that we do. And so this will provide us a great opportunity to do that. It's a great class. Thanks for reminding me that Jessica Custer is going in. You're right. You know, she's the first athlete that I've had a chance to see compete in person who's going into the Hall of Fame. And I got to tell you, it's gone by in the blink of an eye, those 8 years. And you know, she obviously did great things. But we have a great class, a really well-rounded class, and I can't wait to celebrate with them later today.
So we talked about it in our last update, but been working hard to update the fan experiences for student-athletes and fans, of course. Two recent projects being the football game field, volleyball practice court, and anything else on the horizon that we can discuss or announce? Because I know that's always, we joked about it in the past years, we've been doing the podcast so long that there's always something with facilities. So how are those things going?
Yeah, I think our next thinking on projects will be some fan-facing things in football. Baseball will be, you know, We're looking at some upgrades there, you know, that we hope to be able to announce soon. You referenced one of them earlier, you know, some kind of really cool technology projects that will enhance both our offense and our pitchers, but our pitchers in particular. You know, we're working closely with the University in Houston Methodist on another exciting project. It's like I can tease these things, JP, but I'm not yet prepared to talk about any of them in great detail. But I think what you'll see in the next 6 months or so are some pretty cool additions that will affect not only the experience of our players and coaches, but also our fans.
Future content, future podcast.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that. So, like we talked about last week on Coach Blumgren's show, you were in Washington, D.C. It's so much discussion has been on issues away from competition. Just wanted to get your thoughts on a few of these topics. Just the name, image, and likeness, which we talked about during Coach's show. I wanted to touch about that. But any takeaways from the first few months, general guidelines for fans on what they could expect, on how this could affect Rice student-athletes?
Yeah, I think it's really difficult to predict the future, given all of the different things that are going on right now. So, you know, you've got NIL, which almost seems old at this point. You know, NIL really started with, you know, with Ed O'Bannon back, seems like forever ago, you know, filing a lawsuit against the NCAA for releasing his it wasn't his name, but I think it was his image, his likeness in the EA Sports college basketball video games. And, you know, that sort of progressed to what we have now, which are a number of state laws have been passed that compel universities to allow student athletes to monetize their name, image, and likeness. When I was a student athlete in the 90s, I signed a form that said, you know, anything that happened in a track meet wearing a uniform, that I didn't own my name, I didn't own my image, I didn't own my likeness, not only while I was a student athlete, but anything that happened while I was a student athlete, I never owned it, you know, even today. And so Ed O'Bannon kind of took this on, and you know, it produced a number of these state bills. Not every state has a law in place that allows student athletes to monetize NIL, but what the NCAA has done is they basically backed off enforcement around NIL and said, you know, we're not going to apply the rules in these cases. So for even those institutions that are in states that don't have laws, they're able to do some work with their student athletes. So, you know, we've got a small handful of athletes that are engaged in the NIL space doing some endorsement deals. You know, they're generally smaller deals. You know, you hear about some of the larger ones that are going on across college athletics. But that's just one aspect of what's going on. And I think we'll figure out more about it as it evolves. You know, we've got a Supreme Court case that happened I guess it was heard in April and the decision was rendered in June. That was a challenge to a Ninth Circuit decision about caps to benefits and compensation that was tethered to education for student athletes. And the decision out of the Ninth Circuit was that you couldn't cap benefits, and you had some caps around cash compensation, and the Supreme Court upheld that decision 9-0. So essentially what that means is, you know, anything that's related to education, and we have to sort out the details in court on that. You can probably provide laptops, but you can't provide a Ferrari for a student athlete to get to class, you know, those sorts of details will have to get sorted out. And then there's some, you know, there are, it allows some cash benefits for hitting certain academic benchmarks, grade point averages, graduating, et cetera. You know, many people think this is the next step is no caps on cash benefits, period, which would set up kind of the employer-employee relationship, which is what many people feel is where we're headed, at least for some programs and some institutions in college athletics. You know, that sort of leads to the next big issue, which is yesterday or the day before, the National Labor Relations Board General Counsel issued a memo that said that she considers student athletes in certain sports to be employees of the university. And so this invites potential legal challenges and unionization of athletes. And, you know, what she's really looking for is a collective bargaining agreement between athletes and institutions. So this happened a few years ago at Northwestern. And, you know, after some discussion and a vote among the football players on the Northwestern team, nothing came of it. And they withdrew the memo. You know, we didn't see anything come of that. This time around, we'll just have to see. I mean, I think you put it in the context of what happened with Alston, there's probably more to it this time. You've got conference realignment. You know, yeah. I was tell people I was on a beach someplace celebrating my wedding anniversary this summer when I saw that Texas and Oklahoma were rumored to be leaving the Big 12 for the SEC. And, you know, immediately it invited questions among some of our supporters and administration about what that meant for us. And, you know, you've seen the way it's cascaded down. And now the environment in FBS is pretty unstable, certainly at the Group of Five level, it's pretty unstable. So we've got that. You know, we've got the NCAA saying, well, you know, our rules, it appears as though our rules aren't really working anymore. You know, the NCAA rule book is like an inch and a half thick. The foundation of the rule book is the Constitution, which is 40 some odd pages long. And the NCAA and Mark Emmert have tasked Bob Gates, who is the former Secretary of Defense under George W. Bush and Barack Obama, and former president of Texas A&M. He's leading a committee that's reviewing the Constitution, and we're going to have a constitutional convention. So we're going to rewrite the NCAA Constitution, which in turn will lead to a whole new set of rules. So, I mean, it's just, JP, it's very, it's existential, the issues that we're dealing with. They really strike at the foundation of college athletics, and it makes some of the other things that I've wrestled with during my time as an athletics director seem kind of quaint in comparison.
With realignment, I know a lot of fans wonder, is that, could we know something soon? Is that still a long distance type of thing? Or do we even know the timeline of a potential realignment yet?
Yeah, I think you have to prepare as though it's going to happen today, you know, or tomorrow. But I think it could unfold over the next several weeks. I'd be absolutely stunned if there wasn't some settling on it by the end of the calendar year. But my approach and preparation around this is that it's going to happen in 5 minutes. And so I've always got to be on my toes. I've always got to be having those conversations. I've always got to be relaying that information to our key stakeholders who can help us with this. You know, the other thing I'd say is this is but one round of realignment. You know, we went through this 9-10 years ago with some of the other Big 12 moves on the formation of the American Conference, the collapse of the Big East, at least as a football playing conference. We're going through it again. This is not the end of this. And in fact, I think that this process won't be a once a decade process. It's probably going to accelerate. So what I would say to our Rice Owls fans is that whatever happens with this for Rice University, I think it's likely to continue to happen in the next 3, 5, 7 years. And so we just have to continually be prepared until we get to a point of some settling around all the other things that I mentioned, you know, the Constitution, NIL, pay for play. All of these things are really, once those are settled, then I think we can create some stability around the conferences. But until those things are settled, I think it's going to be a pretty bumpy road.
Thanks for the time, Joe. Always appreciate it. And had a lot to cover, and you touched on all of them. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I appreciate you, JP. Thanks, and go Owls.
Go Owls, Rice fight. Stay tuned. Coming up next here on Rice Owls Insider, we'll talk to soccer coach Brian Lee. Back in a moment.
Hey, everybody. This is Mike Golic, and I'm back to host the second season of the Fan Exam live trivia game every Monday and Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Test your college sports knowledge against fans from around the country for the chance to win cash and prizes, including an unforgettable New Year's Day experience at the Rose Bowl Stadium in Pasadena. It's free to play in the brand new Fan Exam app or at thefanexam.com. Get ready to ace the test. Join us for the Fan Exam Season 2 every Monday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Welcome back on Rice Owls Insider. We have Rice soccer coach Brian Lee with us. Good day to you, sir. How are things?
Things are fantastic. We're back up and running on campus. It seems like a regular fall. The campus is beautiful and enjoying every day.
Yeah, like we were talking some just before we hit the record button. What has the big difference been adjusting to the magical spring season, but you still have to put a lot of that behind and then adjusting as you're in the thick of the conference race right now?
Well, the quick turnaround is something we're not used to. We really finished, I want to say, a couple of weeks into May, and then we're back at it by August, when normally we've got almost a year to recoup and regroup after a season happens. So it was very, very unique. And each individual athlete kind of chose a different path of what to do. You know, normally their summer team, we have summer teams much like baseball. So they had to decide, do I play on my summer team or do I try and rest my body? So it's been very interesting.
So far 10 of your 12 matches have been decided by one goal. Is that kind of how you thought the season would play out, being a good defensive team, or how would you judge how the season's gone so far?
Well, that's just soccer. And we put together a schedule. We want to give our kids a chance for an at-large bid. So we knew the non-conference games would generally be close. And every year is a new team. You know, early in the season, we only get 2 weeks of August practice before we get going. So we're always trying to find ourselves. And early in the season, the games are always going to be close. And then when we hit the conference schedule, that's a yearly thing. These are going to be one goal games, one after another.
And I know the biggest thing right now is you're getting a lot of chances, and hopefully this turns around. Hopefully you start cashing in on those. Has that been the big focus that, hey, at least the chances are there and it's just about down the stretch cashing in on those?
Yeah, we're big on data analytics, and we get XG is what we really look at, expected goals. And of anything, you know, on the surface, it looks like we're defending or a little better defending even than we were last year on the outward numbers and not attacking as well, but really our attacking XG is up. We're just not finishing our chances. And, you know, more importantly, last year we got 3 or 4 penalties, and this year we haven't got a penalty yet, which are kind of, you know, borderline gimmies. And our defending numbers are actually slightly down when you get behind the real core numbers with expected goals. So we feel good about how we're attacking. We just need to have a few more find the back of the net.
And Delaney Schultz has done that. Your leading scorer, 6 goals, 6 assists. I know everything flows through her, but speak to her, and not just on the pitch, but just her leadership and what you like about her off the pitch too.
But Delaney's just the prototypical awesome example of a Rice student athlete. She is a great student. You know, if we have any issues with Delaney, it's when we're on the road. Hey, don't fry your brain studying before we play the game. So if that's your biggest problem, we've really got something. And she's just a wonderful all-around human being. And I have really high expectations for her. I think she's one of the best players I've ever coached. And of anything, maybe she's been a little underrated the last couple of years.
And Bella Kilgore's obviously been solid. We spoke to those close games. And a lot of those, that has been because of her in the net. So what have you liked about her? And of course, the defenders in front of her.
Yeah, well, Bella and Delaney kind of go hand in hand. They're the best of friends. They're what you want as a college coach. We've got restrictions of how much we can be on the field with the kids. And Bella and Delaney are always out training on their own, really working to get better. And Bella's been just as good, if not better, than last spring. And we got hit with a bit of an injury when Shelby went down, one of our key backs, with a knee injury early in the year. So we've had to move some pieces around. Keke Furudu, who was, a freshman All-American last year, has had to move to the back for us, just to keep our athleticism up. And she's done a great job. Obviously Micah is steady as she goes, and Kaylee Books, our Canadian senior, has done very well.
What about on the recruiting side of things? I know you can't get into specifics, but how have you seen the great success from the spring contribute to, as if you needed to, having a great program, a great institution, but how has that been right now as you're juggling that, no doubt now?
Well, it's been a huge bump. We're really, for 22, that class was kind of already done. So it's a class we felt good about, but the 23 class we really got started on last spring. And that's the class where we've become national competitors recruiting wise. You know, it's getting down to decision time for a lot of these kids, but quite literally, we've got a kid down between us and Southern Cal, a kid between us and Notre Dame, two kids between us and A&M. So those aren't the circles traditionally Rice soccer has been running in recruiting wise. And it's really just a springboard. You know, we can say all we want. Hey, Rice can be a top 20 athletic and academic school, but until we do it, not everybody's going to believe it, but now they really believe it. And they see all the benefits to coming to Rice. And when these kids come on campus, yeah, we had a kid earlier who had just been to Notre Dame, awesome institution, great athletic department. All this stuff came to us the next week and said, if I'm choosing just between those two right now, it's Rice. So that's what we've got here. And that's nothing to do with Brian Lee. That's the environment at Rice and what it's like to be a female student athlete here, especially right now.
So by the time a lot of folks listen or watch this, it'll be past the UAB match, but just give us some perspective on a whole about the rest coming up with UAB. Then of course, Southern Miss, but you got 5 before that tournament. You have the punishment of going to South Florida as the weather's getting a little bit cooler. But What do you have to do to put your best foot forward, and how do you evaluate kind of eye in the sky view here as you march towards hopefully another successful postseason run?
Well, we're always trying to peak at that tournament. It's difficult to get at large bids out of Conference USA in soccer right now. So we always want to be peaking at conference tournament time. And I think this year's team, we've still got a lot of room to grow. So in these five games, we're still mixing and matching a little bit with systems of play and players in different spots. So we'd like to be further along at this stage of the year, but we're not. So the bottom line is we think we've got a lot of room to improve. And the Conference USA games, they're going to give you a chance to do that. I think we have better coaches in Conference USA and certainly better game day coaches than I left in the SEC, which is a great conference as well. But our coaches are fantastic. You better be prepared for every game and ready to go.
Hey, Coach, as always, thanks for the time. In my hard-hitting soccer questions, you put up – thank you so much. Best of luck down though. I'm sure we'll talk here again pretty soon, but Rice Fight never dies. Thank you, Coach.
That's right. Go Owls. Thank you.
And that wraps it up for this edition of Rice Owls Insider. Thanks to Director of Athletics, Dr. Joe Carlgaard, for his chat. You cannot say, I'm forbidding it, that you were cheated in the info. He covered everything under the sun. It was great catching up with Joe again. And thanks to Brian Lee for coming on. And as I joked with him, putting up with my hard-hitting soccer questions. Best of the Owls as they come down the home stretch of the regular season and then go to that conference tournament in FAU. Stay tuned to RiceOwls.com for all your news and information around the Owls. It's an off week as we record this for Owls football, but most of the season ahead of us there as well. And we'll be back soon with more editions of Rice Owls Insider. And you can always catch those Rice Owls football broadcasts on RiceOwls.com and check out those In the Booth feeds on the Rice Athletics YouTube and Facebook pages. And the cherry on top, Matthew Bartlett and I have the midweek previews every week as well. You can find those. We don't shortchange you for info here during this fall slate. Until our next edition of Rice Owls Insider, have a great rest of this day or night. God bless. Go Owls, and we'll talk to you later here on Rice Owls Insider.